A reading from Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, that the God of our ancestors, the Lord, heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God, and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. This is the word of the Lord. Good evening. As you read in the program, my name is Nathan Gragg, and as you might have figured out, I'm not very good at coming up with sermon titles. I usually don't do a sermon title, but they made me. So I figured I might as well pick something intriguing. So there you have it. Your father was a wandering Aramean. Now, just to be clear, my father, technically speaking, was not a wandering Aramean, but he was a wandering Southerner. When I was young, he took his family and he wandered out to the cornfields of Nebraska. That's where I spent my first Thanksgivings of memory, with a good chance of snow and 100% chance of football. It was there in the blustery plains of Nebraska that my grandmother came to visit. All the way from North Carolina, she came for Thanksgiving one year. It was a rare treat to have someone from down south come for Thanksgiving. But the reason I remember her coming is because she did a lot of baking that year. A lot of baking. As family lore tells it, my grandmother set to baking pies. That was her gift, and that was her love. And by the time she was done, she'd baked 17. She baked 17 pies. My mom still tells the story today with the same amazement in her tone as she did back then. It was a true historical event in the world of our family that now has become the stuff of legend. It's a sort of story that gets told to raise eyebrows and to engender hearts. My grandmother turned 90 years old this year, but she doesn't remember the pies or that Thanksgiving. She doesn't even remember any of us. Dementia has taken away just about everything but her orneriness. And she's spending her remaining years in a nursing home with no memory. I tell you that story not to make you sad, but because it's important to me to see the connection between story and memory and Thanksgiving. Ours is a faith of memory and story. And if the Thanksgiving holiday fills us with these things, then there's a good reason. It's in our blood. It's in our spiritual DNA as people of faith. That, I think, is what's going on in these verses from Deuteronomy that we've heard. Here in Deuteronomy 26, we find the first fruits giving guide for the people of Israel. It's a script for a great drama, the drama of Thanksgiving, of story and memory. It's a liturgy, a pattern of worship that rehearses and retells events that happened long ago that nevertheless have bearing on the present. That's what good worship does. These instructions are for giving to God some of the first fruits of the harvest as a sign of praise and gratitude. First fruits giving is a principle and practice that weaves its way through the Old Testament. And here, a dramatic way to give the first fruits is laid down in great detail. It's a ceremony. Putting some of the first harvest in a basket and presenting it to the priest. And it's accompanied by a confession, reciting the story of God delivering his people from bondage and into the promised land. It's a confession of faith for sure, but not the kind that dwells on how one feels or what one thinks about God. This confession takes its cues from the events of history, from God's action. Here is how it is between us and God, the story goes. Here is our memory. The Lord our God stepped into the events of history and acted for us. The Lord heard our voice. The Lord brought us out. The Lord gave us this land. That is the foundation of Israel's story. That is what they are to remember, that God brought a band of slaves out of Egypt, formed them into a people, and gave them a future. But not them, us. The intriguing thing about this passage is the way that the language changes. As the words direct, the story of God's people long ago claims the speaker. Listen. A wandering Aramean was my father. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice. Do you hear it? It's no longer a story about something that happened to them. It's a history of what has happened to us, our people, God's people. In the act of giving thanks, the past has been brought into the present. Perhaps when we sit down at our family tables to share a Thanksgiving meal, we will be doing something like that. Not as dramatic or liturgical, But the celebration of Thanksgiving does invite us to think about the past. Like, how about that first Thanksgiving among American colonists long ago? Sure, much of the story has been shaped and reshaped over the years. It's more legend now. But there are some things that seem pretty certain. There was a group of pilgrim settlers. They suffered greatly and many died. The local natives intervened to offer some sort of help. And together they shared a harvest festival and thanksgiving for many things. Our own feasting harkens back to the spirit of that first gathering. It is a good thing that in America, all these years later, we should have a time where the word Thanksgiving and the habit of Thanksgiving is on the lips and the hearts of all. But our celebration of Thanksgiving as people of faith, our connections to the past go much farther and much deeper. Not just back to the 1600s around some table somewhere in the New World, but all the way back to that wandering Aramaean, and all the way down to Egypt, where God brought Israel out of bondage, formed them into a people, and gave them a future. But it's not just them. It's us. This is our story too. It's our story too because God has rescued us from bondage and formed us into a people and given us a future. Here's how 1 Peter says it. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. All the way back. Yes, all the way back even to that wandering rabbi and Lord who rescued us from bondage to sin by his death and resurrection, who formed us into a people by sending the Spirit to gather us for mission, who gives us a future, promising to be with us always, even to the end of the age. All the way back to a table somewhere in Jerusalem where he shared a meal and instituted a new way of giving thanks. And all the way down to our own altars and the meal of Holy Communion, Eucharist, Thanksgiving, which we do in remembrance, in memory of him, and through which we celebrate the promise that Christ is with us through the mystery of faith. Yes, the past comes in to our present. Ours is a faith of memory, of story, of thanksgiving. We invite the past to inform the way of things now. Just like the first fruits givers thousands of years ago, like those who worship God in sanctuaries and around altars this very week, and like families who sit down at tables and share a meal and are thankful. You see, your father was a wandering Aramaean. Or maybe a better way to say it is, when we participate in the act of giving thanks, We are standing on the shoulders of our fathers and our mothers, our ancestors in faith who have delivered us the story of God, who acts in history and whom we owe all thanks and praise. We've lost some of those saints, and some have lost their memory, but they are not lost to God. God still remembers them, and we remember them and their stories. Maybe we'll even tell a few this year. Maybe this year, or years from now, my own children will sit at the Thanksgiving table and confess, "A wandering Southerner was my father. He went out to Nebraska, and there he ate pies, great in number." But mostly I hope for them that they will gather with brothers and sisters in Christ, like all of us gathered here, and tell a story, and tell it from memory. The story about the God who freed them from bondage and made them a people and gave them a future, and then give thanks. What stories will you tell? What memory will you recall for Thanksgiving?